Trend number three, dealing with scientific fraud. Scientific research is designed to improve our understanding of the world. But when that research is deliberately flawed, the conclusions are not only worthless, they cause irreparable harm. The integrity of academic researchers, for example, is crucial when billions of dollars of taxpayers' money is being used for federal science. Likewise, billions of dollars spent on healthcare is predicated on the truthfulness of pharmaceutical research claims. In this case, bad science can lead to more than just financial pain. It can cause physical pain as well. Scientific fraud comes in various forms, including cherry-picked results, poor or non-existent controls, confirmation bias, opaque, missing, or unavailable data, plagiarism, and stonewalling. These practices can have a long-term compounding effect because science involves the building of collective knowledge. Bits of information and conclusions are added in small increments. Theoretical foundations are built upon by successive generations of scientists. And if that foundational truth is in fact flawed, then the time, effort, and money spent building upon that truth are all a waste and ultimately in vain. As scientific fraud has become more pervasive, there has been yet another damaging effect. The public has begun losing faith and confidence in science. The irony is that science is just as reliable as it's always been. It is flawed science masquerading as sound science that is causing the loss of confidence. The problem is that flawed and fraudulent science is not taking place in just a few isolated instances. Its amazing pervasiveness was highlighted by a short-lived website that documented egregiously suspicious research results. In its 6 months of existence in the second half of 2012, before being shut down, sciencefraud.org, a crowdsourced reference site much like Wikipedia, brought to light around 500 examples of conclusions in peer-reviewed publications that warranted serious questions. As a result of the site, many of the published findings were subsequently retracted. This small sample and the tens of millions of dollars in misappropriated research funds that financed the studies cited offer insight into the true scope of the problem. It revealed that scientific fraud has gone from being rare to being an everyday occurrence. Other evidence of this is the rising number of retractions across multiple scientific publications. The website Retraction Watch has brought this to light, while also revealing that even prestigious universities and large pharmaceutical companies are not immune. Retractions by Harvard, Caltech, Johns Hopkins, Ohio State, the University of Kentucky, and the University of Maryland have recently been highlighted by the website. The fields of psychology and medicine are showing particularly rapid increases in fraud. Consider just three examples. First, a recent study by Leslie John, published in Psychological Science, revealed that questionable research practices are the norm for the vast majority of psychologists, with 1 in 10 actually falsifying data. Second, a recent paper published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences reported that from 1973 to now, nearly 1,000 biomedical papers were retracted due to someone cheating the system. Those retractions represented 67% of all biomedical retractions. Third, R. Grant Steen, a medical communications consultant, reported in a 2010 study that retractions were on the increase. His conclusion, which was published in the Journal of Medical Ethics, was based on papers retracted from the PubMed database between 2000 and 2010. Steen discovered that the retractions numbered just 10 in the year 2000, but had grown to 180 by 2010. Other fields are reporting similar rising levels of retraction. Nature, perhaps the premier international weekly journal of science, recently reported that the number of papers being published has been eclipsed by the rise in retraction rates. These rising retraction rates are contributing to the public's loss of faith in the claims of science more generally. Unfortunately, there is no shortage of examples of genuine scientific fraud. For example, Dr. Scott Rubin, formerly chief of the acute pain service at Bay State Medical Center in Massachusetts, has been sentenced to prison. His crime was falsifying research data that purportedly demonstrated the efficacy of analgesic medications sold by Pfizer, Merck, and Wyeth. His reports appeared in dozens of journals before it was discovered that they were rife with fabrications. Although Rubin is no longer in a position to directly propagate false data, his influence continues on, since his research papers were among the most heavily cited in the field. Similarly, Harvard University was jolted by a scandal in May 2011 involving a professor named Mark Hauser. He held the position of director of the university's Mind, Brain, and Behavior program and was known as a trailblazer in the field of evolutionary psychology. In that role, he was consistently selected by students as one of Harvard's most popular professors. His transgression was falsifying data, which was ultimately reported by his own graduate students. He resigned from Harvard and is now barred from teaching. In December 2011, the fraudulent articles of noted Dutch psychologist Dietrich Stapel were exposed. He had misled the top scientific journals and the best reporters with falsified data and entirely made-up experiments. An investigating committee reported that Stapel committed academic fraud in several dozen published papers, many of which had been accepted in respected journals and reported in the news media. Even many of the doctoral theses that he oversaw have come under scrutiny. However, the distinction of having published the most fraudulent papers clearly goes to Yoshitaka Fuji, an anesthesiologist and expert in postoperative nausea and vomiting. Even though his findings first came under investigation in the year 2000, he went on to publish for another decade, producing a total of 172 faked articles. Admittedly, not all findings that need to be retracted are the result of fraud. Some are due to sloppy work, scientific incompetence, lax research standards, or cases where researchers simply got complicated statistical analyses wrong. But a study by the National Academy of Sciences reported that 2/3 of the retractions in the biomedical and life sciences fields can be attributed to genuine scientific misconduct. The motivations for the fraud are varied, but they are most often related to the way scientists pursue funding, researching, and publishing. First, at all research career levels, there is a pressure to publish in the most prestigious journals. Second, there is also pressure to report positive results, since this is what the journals prefer. Even though null findings from a well-conducted study are equally informative, it is the sensational conclusions that the media love to report. And third, statistical errors are easy to slip into published studies because journal article assessment is inconsistent and secretive. Researchers whose work is done in near secrecy are able to manipulate their data to reach the conclusions they want, not fearing they'll be challenged. These factors and others create an environment where unscrupulous researchers move beyond seeking enlightenment and pursue personal or political advancement. It's the scientists claiming breakthrough results who are conferred financial rewards, tenure, and prestige. In light of this trend, please consider the following forecasts. First, the changes that will meaningfully reduce fraud will not be externally imposed through public policy. Instead, it will take brave individuals on the inside who will make the difference. These will be people who witness fraud taking place and determine that if they don't speak up, they are contributing to the problem. Websites for anonymous posting will inevitably spring up, providing a safe means for individuals to effectively police the literature, calling attention to questionable data and papers. Blogs will be another avenue that will become effective for timely critiquing of published work. And second, there will be serious hurdles to any attempt to reduce scientific fraud. Professor Paul Brooks, creator of the Science Fraud Site, observed the following. As I have learned the hard way, anyone who dares to stick their neck on the line and question the data of their peers is ostracized, stonewalled, and subjected to lawsuits. The consequences for whistleblowers in academia provide an equal deterrent for speaking up. Few graduate students, for example, are going to turn in their principal investigator, knowing that this would seriously affect their chances of earning PhDs. On a more basic level, one hurdle will be figuring out who is to decide what constitutes a breach of scientific integrity. Determining the guilt or innocence of an author is rarely straightforward. Another hurdle to overcome will be a much-needed improvement of the peer review system, which currently fails to root out fraud. Finally, the attitude of journal staffs is and will continue to be a challenge. They are reluctant to accept requests for corrections. In a similar vein, these editors often tend to resist publishing comments on a previously published work.